IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. I am Prasanna Naidu, and today we will be talking about the practicality of simplifying the election process. To discuss this, we have with us Pranay Kotasthane, the head of research at Takshashila. Hi, Pranay.
Hi, Prasanna. It's great to be talking to a YouTube star.
Oh my God, I'm not a YouTube star. Yeah, I have a small channel, but that's not relevant
that's
for this.
A famous channel about law and lots of other things. So do check it out, guys.
Thank you, Pranay, for that. Okay, so recently on the Constitution Day, our Prime Minister appealed for something termed as One Nation, One Election. And even before that, it has been in discussion between many leaders and intellectual circles. So Pranay, let's start with this. What does this exactly mean? Like, are these people suggesting that we must have all the elections to be conducted on the same day from the national level to the state to further down to municipality, gram panchayat, etc.? Can you explain this first?
Yeah, Prasanna, first I will take reservations with your very first statement itself when you said about simplifying election process. I think this is not going to simplify the election process, it's going to complicate it. But okay, let's see what this idea is, right? So this has been going on for quite some time. It was first called simultaneous polls. It has been going on since 2014, even before that, and there have been multiple discussions. There was an all-parliamentary meet also last year, and it has again surfaced this year, and the Prime Minister said that it is not just a point for discussion, but it is also a necessity for India. Now, what is the simultaneous election that we know of that they are saying? Currently, the document that Niti Aayog had put a few years back, and we are going to link it, it talks about simultaneous polls for the national election and the state election. They have kept the municipal elections away from this, probably because it is not completely feasible or whatever. So currently we are just talking, when we say simultaneous elections, the idea is once in 5 years, there will be a common election for national level and the state level. So when you go as a voter to vote, you will have to go just once, and you will have two voting machines, one for the state elections and one for the national elections. That's essentially what simultaneous polls is. Now, the idea is it is very difficult to do this. So the Niti Aayog paper says that actually you will have to do it in two batches. You can't do all elections after 5 years because there will be some governments that will fall earlier or so. So what they are saying is you have two batches of simultaneous polls, once every 2.5 years or so. And that is going to cover the entire national elections and all the state level elections as well. So that is what it is as at present.
So ideally, it looks like it is going to simplify, right, Pranay? Because just a recent incident happened with me. I mean, I'm in Nagpur now, and there was some, you know, I think BJP party leaders at some square in front of my brother's shop. And I asked him, what is this? Are there elections going on? So he was like, no, we don't have any elections. And then after some time, while he was reading a newspaper, he sent me a snapshot saying that, today there are municipal elections, like the current, the municipal corporation elections. So people don't even know that such elections are going on. And I mean, there are so many elections. From what I remember, you have shared with all of us, like in Takshashila meeting, that there are more than 2 lakh governments itself in India, that in one country there are more than 2 lakh governments. So we can imagine how many elections there will be going on. So is it that, like, a better option to, like, simplify it?
Right. So that's a good point. Yeah, let's discuss this. See, if you take aggregate numbers, everything in India is big, right? Everything in India is huge size. But look at it for a particular voter, right? Like currently you are in Nagpur, you vote only for 3 elections, right? It's not like you vote for 2 lakh elections, right? So you currently with the proposal that they are saying, it instead of you voting for 3 times, you will have to vote for 2 times. So is that a big simplification over the current regime? Not much, right?
Right. I was just saying, as we quoted that number, can you just briefly tell us what the other types of elections are? Like, we only know basically 3 types of elections. So what are the other types of elections?
No, these are the 3 types of elections. There are no others.
Okay.
There are the 3 levels of elections, local governments and state governments, and then you will have things at the union level. And most of the times, if you see the local government elections, also sort of, you will be having something in Nagpur, maybe sometimes there will, at a different point of time, it will be in Mumbai. So you are not going to be affected because of local level elections which are held in Mumbai, right? That's it's not as if developmental work in your constituency has to stop because of something happening in Mumbai. So that is not your concern. So you will be anyways facing as a voter the 3 levels of elections for the 3 levels of governments that serve you. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so this point was raised like as the main point for this kind of proposal, that development programs are affected. So what these people are saying who are in support of this proposal, like we have national elections, then we have state elections, then municipal elections, etc. And every year, like there are 5 years, after 5 years, we have the elections. But every year we have some or the other kind of election. Like after the national election, in some states, there will be elections next year. Then the next year, there will be elections in some other states. Then there will be elections in some union territory. So administration process, the officials, plus the expenditure, etc., keeps on going on elections every year. And that's why the development activities programs, which are proposed and which have been started implementing, gets affected with this. So what do you think about it?
So let's deep dive into the real reasons that people are making for this, right? And let's investigate that. So, yeah, what you said, there are multiple reasons that you made in the statement. So let's unpack them, right? So the first reason is, and this is what the PM also said recently, that developmental works get affected because of multiple elections, right? So let's investigate that. Why do they get, and is simultaneous polls the solution? Now, why do developmental works get affected? Because there is this imposition of the model code of conduct by the Election Commission, right? So what the Election Commission says is that once the elections are announced in a particular state or in a particular municipality or the entire country, if there's a union election, so once the election dates are announced, from that date until when the elections are actually held, model code of conduct applies, right? So what the model code of conduct says is that you need to take the permission of the Election Commission for doing any developmental related work, any work which might, even capital investment related work, any work which might affect the electoral outcomes, right? So that is the model code of conduct. And generally it applies roughly, let's say around 2 months, for 2 months, right? So from the date it is announced right up to the end of elections. So this is the time which people say that this gets lost and there is no developmental work that happens, right? So the idea then is that in order to save this time, you should actually just do a few lesser number of elections, and those will be the simultaneous polls so that you have lesser amount of time for which this model code of conduct applies, right? This is the argument.
Right.
So now the Niti Aayog statement, in fact, goes into more detail and says this, right, that developmental projects and programs may potentially get hit every year, and that too for about 1/3 of the entire time available for implementing such projects and programs. Such a situation is completely undesirable and needs serious deliberations and appropriate corrective measures. So now this is what the statement said. Now I want to challenge this. Okay. So now let me tell you why I want to challenge this. Now, first idea is, why is this problem happening? Because of the model code of conduct that we discussed, right? So now idea is, the model code of conduct says that you can't take any developmental work, and that's why everything gets stalled. Now, this is what I'm saying. If you want developmental works to go on, then you can change the model code of conduct, right? You don't need to change the entire election system machinery, because it has a lot more other effects, right? There are other implications to that. But what you can do if you want to change this is just have a change in model code of conduct where parties agree that certain kinds of work, let's say, you know, providing water or providing electricity, new investments for these capital projects, laying down roads, etc., can be approved. Maybe it can also be approved by a group of parties or by the election commission or whatever, right? So if you can agree to changing the model code of conduct, then you can solve this. Second way you can do is, you can apply this for a shorter period of time, right? So currently model code of conduct applies for, say, 2 months. You can agree that maybe it should not apply for 2 months, and maybe it should just apply 2 days before the election starts and until the elections, right? You don't need it to go right up front. It's not as if that parties won't be doing like a lot of freebies. They won't be giving even 2 months before the election, right? The parties which are in power will anyways know when the election is going to be held. So if they wanted to lure voters to giving them votes, they can also do that 3 months before, right? It's not as if they won't be doing this already. So I think you can reduce the period. That is one solution. Or you can change the model code of conduct to edit the number of activities that you can do during this time, right? So that can be one solution. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I completely agree. Because from what I understand is, their concern is during the period of model code of conduct, when it's active, the resources, the government resources are allocated to more election related work. So that's why they are not able to focus on the development activities, and that's why they pause it for a while. But as you say, if we can edit the model code of conduct and you know state something like, these activities will not stop whatever happens, like even if elections are going on,
right,
then that is a good solution. Yeah.
So Prasanna, that is not the argument for model code of conduct. The reason why model code of conduct applies is so that the government in power shouldn't be influencing the voter by announcing a scheme that can affect their voter behavior. You know, so the idea is that, let's say, and this is an election commission rule, right? I mean, it comes under through the election commission. It's not as if it is meant for that we don't have people and hence we apply a model code of conduct. It is because, let's say you are in power and you might say, announce that everyone will get 30,000 rupees tomorrow, you know, just before the elections. If you do that, that might sway the voter opinion, is what the assumption is. And that's why the model code of conduct applies.
Yeah, and again, a similar point, that if we have simultaneous elections, a big argument is that the government which is in power, the party which is in power, will be able to influence voters' decision because it's in power, right?
Yeah, so that is the argument which is given against one nation, one election. That is different in the sense that it might affect federalism, because there is a high correlation. Whenever there is a study done by the ADR, Association for Democratic Reforms, and they found out that whenever there are simultaneous polls, there is a greater likelihood of voters actually voting for the national parties rather than the regional parties. But we'll leave that apart for now. Let's discuss the developmental work argument itself, right? So that was one argument. The model code of conduct applies. And my solution to that is, you modify the model code of conduct itself, either time-wise or either activity-wise, and that can solve your problems. Your developmental work can still go on. Now, second, in this same thing, they said that the developmental works get stalled for 4 months a year. Now, this sounds like a very scary number, right? Obviously, if all your developmental work is going to get stalled for 4 months a year, you would be worried, right? But is that really the case? Because you have to look at this, that this 4 months, it's not as if the last year, Prasanna, do you remember there were 4 months of elections in the place that you were staying?
No.
Right. I mean, what they have done an aggregate analysis of the entire country, right? But if you look at it more closely, let's say you have a state election in Maharashtra, okay? So maybe this year you have a state election in Maharashtra, so there will be 2 months of model code of conduct applying in where you're staying in Nagpur, right? But that doesn't mean that any developmental work anywhere outside Maharashtra needs to stop, right?
Right.
So that is one thing, right? And let's say if there is even a local election, if there is an election in Nagpur and that's why you have a model code of conduct applied there, does the election need to, does the developmental work need to stop in any of the other municipalities or local governments in Maharashtra itself?
No, absolutely not.
Right. Mm. So what we are saying is this 4 month number is a bit misleading. So if you look at what I did is I looked at the developmental period lost over a 5 year period. Okay. So assume you have 5 year period in which you have one state election right at the beginning, one state election at the end of this 5 year period, and you have one Lok Sabha election in the middle of this. Right. So if you look at this spread, the total this developmental time lost would be around 6 months. Okay, I'm assuming that in yours you will model code of conduct will apply for 2 months each, so you will be losing 6 months over a 5 year period, right? That is 6 months out of 60 months totally, which is 1/10. So you will lose 1/10 of a period, not 1/3.
Okay,
so that is one main argument. Also, I'm saying that you actually are not going to lose this time per se, because if you can modify the model code of conduct, you can actually allow some developmental works to happen without you having to worry about the elections in any case, right? So that can be the solution.
Yeah, I somewhat agree with you. But if we think about this like this, that this is kind of more, I mean, we are trying to simplify things, but there will be a lot of things to look after and a lot of administrative work is there. Because yeah, and if we kind of simplify it as they are suggesting, like state elections and national elections on one day itself, and then municipality elections and gram panchayat etc. will go on later, won't you think it will be more clearer and simpler even for the voters?
I don't think so, Prasanna, because simplifying is not the only argument, right? Maybe it will be simpler, but the idea is what are the unintended consequences of this, right? So first unintended consequence of this will be, I mean, go into the details, okay? Let's say you're in your state, after two years of a party leading to power, let's say that government falls, all right?
Hmm.
What happens till the next simultaneous poll, which is going to be held 3 years from now? What will happen in those 3 years?
Maybe a re-election or...
No, re-election can't happen, right? Because it's a simultaneous poll. So the only time simultaneous poll can happen is after the 3 years, after your 5 year period gets completed. So what will happen in those next 3 years?
The president's role will be there.
So now, can you imagine what will happen when there is... So basically, what the impact does it have on your federal structure then?
Yeah.
You have okay. 3 years. And imagine if... So there are two proposals in the Niti Aayog paper. They are saying either you... Whenever this happens, you can either do a sort of a governor's rule, or if not a governor's rule, you can have another sort of a lame duck government installed by people who bring in the no confidence motion in the state assembly. So you will have people who will agree to having an alternate formation which runs the government for the next 3 years. Now, but the essential point is there is a big problem with both these solutions. One, if it is a governor's rule, it's you're centralizing power, right? You're saying that this state government is fallen, so you don't need to run the power, union government will run. And that is really dangerous, right? I mean, you're taking away the federal powers of the state governments for that period. That is problematic. Second, if you actually have some lame duck government installed, you are again not going to have a lot of developmental work happening, because they will not have the sort of people's will behind them for that particular period of time. So they'll be more circumspect of taking up projects. So you will have to wait for an actual election to happen 3 years down the line, and then for people to come into power and take big decisions, right, for which they have been voted for. So this is a problem. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with this, that this is a problem to be concerned about. But I am thinking as as a voter, because I gave you a live example that my brother didn't even know that there were multiple elections going on. So there are so many elections, and like many people are not even concerned about it. And people who are even concerned about it a bit, they, become a bit serious when there are national elections or state elections going on. Right. They do some research about the candidate, and then they think or decide which candidate they are going to vote. And if there are many elections going on at different period of time, then even those people won't invest much of their time and energy in researching and thinking about issues in their area and then considering deciding their vote on those terms.
Right. That's good, Prasanna. Let's discuss this point. As I said in the beginning, there are not many elections. You as a voter only vote in three elections, right? So forget about this idea that there are many elections you have to be worried about, right? As a voter, you only count vote for three times. Now let's discuss this in detail. What is the problem with municipal elections? As you said, your brother wasn't even aware. Now that reason is that municipal elections are so powerless. I mean, we don't care about them because our municipal governments are powerless, right? And municipal governments are powerless, so we don't worry about who is in power in the municipal governments in any case. So that requires reform of municipal government. Okay, simultaneous elections is not going to solve that. Second thing, as I told you, this solution also, which is coming into picture, does not talk about municipal elections at all. So it is still state elections and union government elections. Municipal governments will still happen, and there will still be a chance that when a municipal election will happen and your brother will not be aware. So that is not going to be solved by this. That is a problem. I agree. We don't pay attention to our municipal governments. Our municipal government spending as a percentage of GDP is abysmal. And that is a problem that needs to be solved. But this solution does not address it in any way.
Agree.
So that is one. Now, let me come to the third point. Okay, so this developmental time loss for me sounds like a very lame excuse by political parties. It's like we make this dog ate my homework excuses, right, that kids make. It seems a bit like this because one, like governments already know when the next elections are due, right? Generally, it's not that governments fall in the state level every 1 year or so, right? In most states, now we have parties which are staying in power for 3, 4, 5 years, right? So governments reasonably know when next elections are due, right? And they can actually plan their developmental works ahead given this information that they already know. So it's not as if they are already in a great developmental project and suddenly the election comes and they have to stop all their developmental works because of the model code of conduct. That's a misrepresentation of how this thing already happens, right? Things are already planned. They would know that, okay, reasonably, I know 5 years from now, there will be election. So there will be a halt of 2 months for a particular project. So I can plan and do things even before that, right? So these things are known. So it's an excuse to say that, you know, this developmental time is lost. And because developmental time is lost, I have to somehow change the election structure. So but I think from a philosophical point of view also, this is a problematic because this sees elections as something which are problematic. These are elections which we have to agree to begrudgingly because these are things that we just need to do because we are a democracy. They are obstacles which block the grand developmental vision of parties. So this is my essential problem, right? It's not so. Elections are core to a democracy. So we need to, if elections cause parties to, you know, change their the way they envision developmental works, they should do that. And I'm sure they can do that. It's not as if India is the only democracy in the world in which multiple levels of elections are held, right? That's true in all democracies. Do they say that they have to also, everyone needs to have one nation, one election? Not quite, right? So I think we need to look at it from a more broadly. Elections are essential. And we need to give it the respect that they are, right? It is a great exercise in which everyone is participating to elect someone who has to serve us. Here, the person who is serving us is saying that, you know, elections are problematic and that's why it's hindering my developmental work. That's why I'm not able to provide you what you want, and that's why I'll change the election for you. So this is the core argument, and I think it is philosophically, it changes the way we see the contract between a citizen and the state.
Yeah, and I think there are other problems which they must focus on. Like, for example, I think if the voter is not present in that particular state, he's in another state, then he is not able to vote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they must focus on these things, because wherever he is, he must be able to vote for the state elections.
Right, so that is, those are the things, right? How do we fix voter lists? How do we ensure that everyone is able to exercise their voting right? Whether in the home state or whether in the working state, that is to be debated. But yes, I think those are the things to be looked at. But you see, this argument is not coming so much from the election council, right? This argument is coming from political parties. So you have to understand why this is coming. They are making a... they are saying that we are not able to do developmental works because you vote three times a year. I mean, three times for different levels of government. So that is an argument which I can't fathom. And I think we need to look at it in more detail. And if you, as we discussed, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Now, Prasanna, there's one more reason which you also hinted at. And I think we can look at that also. That's the expenditure part. Right. So the paper, which Niti Aayog discussion paper we spoke about, it also says this, that elections lead to huge expenditures by various stakeholders, and state governments spend money, government of India spends money. Also, you know, there are a lot of travel, logistics, constituency, reach out, general publicity, etc. So money is spent on all this as well. So let's look at this as detail. Now, no one can deny that a lot of money gets spent in the elections, right?
Right.
But let's look at it. If you unpack this election expenditure, I think we'll understand this better. So who spends money during the election? One will be the state of India, the Republic of India's exchequer will spend some money because for conducting these elections by a constitutional body called the Election Commission, right? So that is one component of the expenditure. Second will be, if you are standing for elections, you are going to spend money for elections as well, right? And third will be the money that your political party will spend for elections, right? So, and that is where all nefarious activities happen, and parties actually spend money, they give freebies, they give cash and all that, right? So these are the three components. Is there any other component in your mind?
No.
Right. So now let's look at all these, right? And see if simultaneous polls affects them or not. So first thing is expenditure incurred by the state. Now, I looked at the numbers. Now, 2014 Lok Sabha elections cost around 3,800 crores. Okay. Now, that is an expense of around 0.03% of India's 2014 GDP. Okay. And that also is an expense which happens only once 5 years, right? After 2014, we did that in 2018. Okay. State elections of a big state like Bihar costed around 300 crores. So that is 1/10 of the cost of the Lok Sabha elections. So that is 0.003% of India's 2014 GDP, right? Again, once every 5 years. So now if we assume all states require same amount as Bihar did, and that's a big assumption. Many states are much smaller and will require less security mobilization. India would be spending around 0.12% of 2014 GDP over a 5-year term. Okay, all state elections, assemblies and Lok Sabha elections combined. Okay, so clearly I don't think this component is unaffordable. Okay, it can't be the primary motivation for changing the elections, changing our affecting our federal structure and all. Right. So now let's look at the second component. Now, the second component is individuals spending on elections. Right. So now this is the big component. I think this and the political party component. So the paper also assessed that totally, even though the expenditure by the Indian exchequer was 3,870 crores for the Lok Sabha polls in 2014, the actual expenditure, if you include all three components, was around 30,000 crores. Now, this is a big number which should be worried about, right? 30,000 crores, more than 9 times what the Indian government spent. It's the party and the individuals spend more than 9 times that amount, right? So now why is that happening? Now that is happening because one, you are giving freebies, you are giving illegally cash, illegally alcohol and all that, which happens and we all know about that. Now in India, what happens is for the individual component, there are limits as to how much you can spend for in the state elections, municipal elections and the Lok Sabha elections, right? So for example, and that is a laughably low number. Like you say, if you are contesting Lok Sabha elections, you can only spend 70 lakh rupees in your constituency for the entire exercise. And you have to maintain a different bank account and all that, right? And if you are looking at state assembly elections, you can only show 28 lakh rupees expenditure. Now, you clearly know the people spend a lot more than this, right? So that happens. Now, even if you do simultaneous elections, that's not going to change, right? People are still going to spend money to get their votes. And we have to fix that in other ways, but simultaneous polls are not going to fix it, right? So if, assume we are a simultaneous poll, Prasanna, you are standing at the state level elections, I am standing at the Lok Sabha level elections, and the election happens together. But still, I am going to give the money to people to vote for me for the Lok Sabha elections. You are going to give money to people to vote for the state level elections, right? That is not going to change because you have elections at one point of time, right?
Yeah, that is practical. But if the party decides to, instead of a candidate going personally, if a party member goes and he says, please vote for us at the Lok Sabha level, also at the state level, then they may spend less, I guess.
Now this is the thing. Now let's look at this. Now the third component, which, so because there are limits to individual, how much individuals can spend, the individuals show a different number and actually spend a lot more. But the biggest component will be what political parties spend, right? And there is no limit on that number. So political parties do a lot of shady things and they spend. Now, the question we should ask is, we need to stop them from spending that.
Exactly.
Right? We can't accept them just because there is simultaneous poll. They will spend, what we are saying is, they will spend all this money once in 5 years, like you said. Okay. But we can't accept the fact that there is this idea that their political parties are spending above and beyond and corrupting the whole system, right? An entire cycle of corruption starts because of this exercise.
Yeah, because they spend so much, they want returns, a return of that investment.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to fix that. We need to fix, enforce mechanisms. We need to have a stronger election commission which looks at it. We need to have stronger judicial mechanisms to, you know, remove people who are using these ways to come to power, right? We need to solve that problem. By simultaneous elections, we are just saying that, okay, you can do corruption, but do corruption once in 5 years, and that should be okay.
Huh. A little less corruption, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's right, right? So that is we are just saying that, okay, be corrupt, but be corrupt once in 2.5 years or 5 years, and that is fine. That's not a solution to the problem at all, right? So I think this expenditure argument also does not make a lot of sense. First of all, the expenditure by the Republic of India is not significant. The expenditure by individuals and political parties is not going to change significantly because of simultaneous polls. So we need to solve those problems, but simultaneous polls are again not the solution.
Yeah, and also I wonder how they came to this figure, because this money is not accounted, right?
Yeah, right. It's an estimate. So it's a really... Might be, but there's no denying the fact that it's a huge number, right, Prasanna? It's like every election we know that people get paid 1,000, 2,000 bucks for voting for a particular party, and people are also smart. They'll take money from every party and then finally decide whom they want to vote for. So that happens, and I think that is a big problem. The focus should be on solving that, and there are experiences to learn from other countries also, but simultaneous polls don't solve that problem is all.
Yeah.
Okay, and so these were the two main reasons. There are other reasons also, that there are security personnel which have to go multiple times to different places. Again, I don't think that is a problem, but if you have simultaneous polls, you will require many more security personnel at that particular point of time, right? Because exercise will be much more massive. So that, and currently you have things like you can send a CRPF party from Bihar to let's say Karnataka, for even elections are held at different points of time. But when you have everyone in India voting at the same time for multiple elections, then it becomes difficult for you to mobilize so many number of people at one particular point of time, right? So that is also something to look at. Now, these are the reasons which are given in favor. And as I said, apart from that, there are also very good reasons why this will affect, this will have much larger consequences. And we discussed about effect on federalism and all that, right? So I think those also need to be discussed in great detail. But my whole point was, even the 2-3 arguments that are given in favor of this one nation and election actually don't stand up to much scrutiny if you look at it in more detail.
Yeah.
So Prasanna, have I convinced you?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay. Have I given you enough food for thought?
Yeah.
So that you can reconsider your view.
Yes.
Okay. Sure. I think that's a good start. And I would request our listeners also to go back and check the discussion paper and check the post that I had written on this, and do send in what do they think of this. You know, I mean, we are also discussing this, and I think we've put forward our points. It will be good to hear what you all think.
Sure. Please, please write to us. You can email us or even tweet us. What are your thoughts about this? Please do that. On this note, we will end this episode. Thank you, Pranay, for explaining this concept and discussing this with us.
Thank you, Prasanna.
Please consider signing up for Takshashila's courses. Applications are now open and you can apply at www.takshashila.org.in/courses. If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is at ivmpodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle at takshashilainst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week, Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.